Thank you for downloading this podcast from Guymere Baptist Church. You can find out more about our church at our website, guymerebaptist.org.au. May God speak to you as you listen.
So it's John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified.
Well, good evening. How are you doing? It is a real privilege and a pleasure and a joy for me to be here tonight and share with you. I've been anticipating this, coming and hanging out here at Guymere for the day and seeing Mark being inducted here. It is a real joy and it's a celebration. It's a celebration for you as a community here. And I think we should celebrate the fact that Mark is stepping into this role and seeing God's faithfulness to him as he's led Mark to this point. It's brilliant. Those of us who know his story, it is a real joy to see you step into this. And for you as a community, seeing God's faithfulness, bringing about somebody new into this community to continue God's work amongst you and to see the way that God is going to use Mark to help you as a community to step into what God is calling you to do and into who you are. I've known Mark for about 10 years. Mark came out to Australia 10 years ago for a wedding. I think Ben and Sim's wedding, actually. They're here tonight. And I didn't know Mark, but a friend said, "Look, this guy's going to stay with you." And I said, "Okay, yeah." And we just hit it off, and we've kept in touch since then. And Mark moved out to Australia 5 years ago. And we've studied together at College, we've worked together at Northside, and he's a great mate of mine. I've known Nicolie for a bit longer, actually. I went to school with Nicolie, and we were in drama class together. So she helped me to come out of my skin, and she can help you do that too here at Guymere. Celebration, something that Mark and Nicolie are accustomed to. Earlier this year, we had a great celebration at their wedding, and here's a photo of them. That's just Mark right there, celebration. And tonight I want to talk about celebration, because celebration is something that's really important to us as people. Celebration is such a key area of life. It's something God's created us to do. And we should be people who celebrate different occasions in life. The biblical tradition is one of celebration. And the Jewish culture is a culture of celebration, really, right? In the Jewish tradition, there are seven major festivals that they have throughout the year where people come together simply to have a party, simply to celebrate. And this is the tradition that we come from, isn't it? Tradition where we come to party, to celebrate, to thank God for things, together as community. And in the Jewish tradition, there were three major celebrations in the year. And in these major celebrations, the whole of Israel would gather together into Jerusalem. So they'd come from all over and all come to Jerusalem for this big party. And the biggest of these parties, the most joyful of these parties, was one called Tabernacles, or the Festival of the Grains, the Festival of Booths. It had a number of different names. And this was the most joyful and biggest celebration, because it was a celebration for a whole week. Everyone would pile into Jerusalem, they'd set up these little huts, they'd live there, and they'd party for a whole week. And this passage that we're looking at tonight lands us in the middle of this big party, in the middle of Tabernacles. And so Jesus had been up in Galilee, and his brothers say to him, "Hey, you want to be famous, don't you? You should get down to Jerusalem because people need to hear about you. And if you want to be famous, that's the way to do it." And Jesus says to them, "Actually, no, that's not what I'm about." And so his brothers go down to Jerusalem, and he goes down secretly. And he goes down secretly because earlier, about a few months before that, he'd been down in Jerusalem and he'd healed somebody on the Jewish religious day off, the Sabbath. And the religious leaders were incredibly angry at him about this, like angry to the point that they're like, you just broke one of God's laws, we're going to kill you. And so they're out to kill Jesus. And so Jesus goes down there in secret and he gets up in the middle of this festival. He stands up in the temple and he begins to teach people throughout the week. And people are going, who is this guy? Where did he get this teaching from? How did he learn this stuff? He doesn't have the education that our Jewish religious leaders have. And he doesn't teach like them either. He's got an authority that they don't have. And basically Jesus says to them, he says to the religious leaders and he says to the people in Jerusalem, hey, you know that you're here for a celebration? You know, here this week for a celebration together? We're here for a party, yeah? Well, I'm here this week to tell you what this party is all about. The Tabernacles was a celebration really of two things in particular. It was a celebration of remembrance. It was a celebration of remembrance of God's provision and his presence with the people. And it's also a celebration of anticipation. It's a celebration of remembrance. And today is really, what we're doing is we're celebrating in remembrance of God's faithfulness. There's a community here. We're celebrating remembrance of God's faithfulness to Mark and Nicolai, bringing them to this point, helping Mark to step into what he believes that God is calling him to do. That's something to celebrate, isn't it? That's what we all want to do, step into what we believe that God is calling us to do in our lives. And we want to remember God's faithfulness to Mark in that. And it's also a celebration for this community, a celebration of remembrance. Remembering God's faithfulness through the years to Guymere Baptist Church and the way that he has grown you as a community and revealed himself to you as a community. It's a celebration of remembrance. In the Jewish Festival of Tabernacles, they would remember particularly God's faithfulness through the years through a story of the Exodus, where God rescued his people from slavery in Egypt and he led them through the desert. And there's a particular story they used to talk about where they were in the desert and they were so thirsty. And they were like, God, we're going to die of thirst. And God was like, okay, well, I'll provide water for you. And he provided water for them from a rock. And so during this week of celebration, they'd read verses like this, Isaiah 48. They did not thirst when he led them through the deserts. He made water flow for them from the rock. He split the rock and water gushed out. In Psalm 78, he split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them water as abundant as the seas. He brought streams out of a rocky crag and made water flow down like rivers. They celebrate in remembrance of God's faithfulness and his presence. But it's also a celebration of renewal. And it's a celebration in anticipation for what God's going to do. And in many ways, that's what we're doing today here in inducting Mark as associate pastor. It's an anticipation of what God is going to do through Mark in this community. And it's a celebration of that. And I can anticipate some of the ways that God might move amongst you as a community, knowing Mark and Nicolai, knowing that their love for Jesus is something that's contagious and will help you to encounter God. I think particularly of Mark's pastoral heart. Think of Mark and Nicolai's desire for prayer and for people to know God personally and engage with him relationally. I think of Mark's sense of humour. Has anyone experienced his sense of humour yet? I know the Northsiders that are here have. It's a particular sense of humour, let's just say. But it's brilliant. Mark's sincerity, his trustworthiness, his courage. It takes courage to move over to Australia from when you've grown up in the UK. Believe it or not, it takes courage to move from the North Shore down to the Shire. His thoughtfulness, his vulnerability, his ability to pour himself out into whatever he is doing right in front of him. He's got an incredible ability to be present in the situation, in what he's engaged with right there, right now. And it is a beautiful thing for you as a community. And I anticipate God using him and using these things about him to help you to know God better in this community. And so today is a celebration of anticipation. And in this festival, Israel would anticipate the renewal that God was bringing. The Festival of Tabernacles happened at the end of the harvest season. So that was the where they would bring all the grain together and celebrate God's provision for them, remembering his faithfulness. And being at the end of harvest season, it's also at the beginning of the rainy season. And so they're anticipating this rain that would bring renewal to the land. And this rain for them was particularly symbolic as well. It was symbolic of God's promise that one day he would pour out his Holy Spirit to provide flourishing of life and the renewal of all things. And at it, they'd read verses like Isaiah 44, "For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my Spirit on your offspring, my blessing on your descendants." And Zechariah 14, "On that day, living water will flow out from Jerusalem, half of it to the east of the Dead Sea and half to the west to the Mediterranean Sea in summer and in winter." And on every day of this festival, they do a particular ceremony. And the ceremony was called the drawing out of water, where they would go down to a pool at the bottom of Jerusalem called the Pool of Siloam, and they'd fill up these jugs with water. And in a long, joyful procession, they'd carry these jugs up to the temple and they'd pour water over the altar, into these bowls that would flow over into the altar, symbolic of this water that would flow from the temple and bring life. And this was an enormous celebration. There's one writer who, looking back on these times, after they no longer did this because Jerusalem has been destroyed, he says, "He who has not seen the rejoicing of the water drawing has never seen joy in his life." This is an amazing celebration for them. And while they drew the water and carried it to the temple, they'd celebrate with the words of Isaiah 12, "With joy you'll draw water from the wells of salvation." And they'd sing the Psalms and they recall the prophecies of Isaiah and Zechariah and Ezekiel that spoke of this time when living water would flow from the temple and bring life to all the barren land around it. The Talmud, one of the ancient Jewish texts, asks, "Why is it called the drawing out of water?" And it answers, "Because of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, which is promised to God's people. In Isaiah, 'With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation.'" And in the midst of all this ceremony, in the midst of all this celebration, Jesus is there teaching in the temple. And he gets to the last day of the festival, the seventh day, where they have been doing this ceremony every day. Incredible joy, incredible celebration, anticipation of what God is going to do to pour out rain on the land, to pour out rain, to quench thirst, to bring life to an area that's dry. And in verse 37, we read, "On the last day of the feast," the great day, "Jesus stood up." He's in the temple courts. Everyone's there. Everyone can hear him. He cries out. And he says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of their heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit whom those who believed in him were yet to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified." Jesus says to them, "Hey, you know you're here for this big celebration? Well, I am that celebration. This celebration is about me. This celebration's about life. This celebration's about me." And he says, "If anyone thirsts, let anyone who thirsts come to me and drink." In some ways, it's kind of a strange thing for him to say, isn't it? "If anyone thirsts, let anyone who thirsts." Jesus is speaking knowing that everybody thirsts. It's basic to our human condition. We have thirsts. We have longings. We have desires. You know your thirsts. These Israelites knew their thirst. They were really enacting their thirst in this festival, weren't they? Their thirst for renewal of the land, for provision, and their thirst for one day God to pour out water to provide for the whole earth. That's a thirst. And they're enacting this. And Jesus is saying, if anyone thirsts, and we know our thirst as well, don't we? We have all sorts of thirst. We thirst for water. We need water to survive. We need it for satisfaction, but we thirst for all sorts of other things. We thirst for pleasure. We thirst for health. We thirst for companionship. We thirst for freedom from all sorts of things, from loneliness, from anxiety, from a release from the pain. We thirst for these things. And so Jesus isn't really asking if you thirst. He's asking knowing that you do thirst. And he's asking really, are you able to see what your thirst is? Are you able to see what's happening inside you and acknowledge what that thirst is and then go to him with that thirst? For some of us, the problem isn't that we don't want to come to Jesus. It's just that it's hard to come to Jesus in the midst of busyness, in the midst of what life is, in the midst of temptation, in the midst of distraction, in the midst of overabundance, in the midst of beauty. It is hard to come to Jesus. For some of us, it's not that we don't want to come to Jesus. For some of us, it's that we feel like our desires, some of the things that are going on inside of us, are too overwhelming, are too strong, and we go, that Jesus, what Jesus offers, I'm not sure that it matches up with what's happening in me. For some of us, it's not that we don't want to come to Jesus, it's just that we're afraid and we don't know what that means, and fear of the unknown holds us back from what Jesus promises to give to us. And we become content, like these religious leaders going through this festival, we can become content to go along to church, to go through the ceremony, but we don't see what it's actually about. And the invitation remains. If anyone thirsts, come to me and drink. I've been reading C.S. Lewis's Narnia with my 5-year-old boy, and there's a scene in The Silver Chair, which, if you're from Guymere, understand that you know, you might have heard Mark talking about this as well recently, where Jill, this girl, lands in this magical world of Narnia. And she went in with a friend. And as she gets in there, this friend, she loses the friend, basically. And she realizes that she's being followed by a lion. And she is, at that time, she hears this stream of water. And when she hears the stream of water, she realizes that she is incredibly thirsty. I just want to read this to you. Jill got up and looked around her very carefully. There was no sign of the lion. But there were so many trees about that it might easily be quite close without her seeing it. But her thirst was very bad now. And she plucked up her courage to go and look for that running water. The wood was so still that it was not difficult to decide where the sound was coming from. It grew clearer every moment, and sooner than she expected, she came to an open glade and saw the stream, bright as glass, running across the turf a stone's throw away from her. But although the sight of the water made her feel 10 times thirstier than before, she didn't rush forward to drink. She stood as still as if she had been turned to stone, with her mouth wide open. And she had a very good reason. Just on this side of the stream lay the lion. How long this lasted, she could not be sure. It seemed like hours. And the thirst became so bad that she almost felt she would not mind being eaten by the lion if only she could be sure of getting a mouthful of the water first. If you're thirsty, you may drink. For a second she stared here and there, wondering who had spoken. Then the voice said again, "If you are thirsty, come and drink." It was a deeper, wilder and stronger, a sort of heavy, golden voice. "Are you thirsty?" asked the lion. "I'm dying of thirst," said Jill. "Then drink," said the lion. "May I, could I, would you mind going away while I do?" said Jill. The lion answered this only by a look and a very low growl. The delicious rippling noise of the stream was driving her nearly frantic. "Do you eat girls?" she asked fearfully. "I have swallowed up girls and boys, women and men, kings and emperors, cities and realms," said the lion. He didn't say this as if it were boasting, nor as if it were sorry, nor as if it were angry. He just said it. "I daren't come and drink," said Jill. "Then you will die of thirst," said the lion. "Oh dear," said Jill, coming another step nearer. "I suppose I must go and look for another stream." "There is no other stream," said the lion. It never occurred to Jill to disbelieve the lion. No one who had ever seen his stern face could do that. And her mind suddenly made itself up. It was the worst thing she had ever had to do, but she went forward to the stream, knelt down, and began scooping up water in her hand. It was the coldest, most refreshing water she had ever tasted. And Jesus says, "If anyone thirsts, let them come to me and drink." Then he says, "Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of their heart will flow rivers of living water." Rivers of living water, rivers that bring life to the land that it flows through. The Shire is marked by rivers, isn't it? It's the Georges River and the Hacking River, and it brings life where it flows through. The Amazon is the biggest river in the world. It's about 6,500 kilometres long, a drainage basin that covers an area of 6.9 million square kilometres. It has many sources flowing into it, including 17 other major rivers and over 1,000 minor rivers. The quantity of water released into the Atlantic Ocean is 300,000 cubic meters of water per second. It's responsible for a fifth of the total volume of fresh water entering oceans worldwide. A fifth of all the fresh water that flows into the oceans comes from the Amazon. At its mouth, the Amazon River is over three times wider than the entire length of the Georges River. At its mouth, it's 330 kilometres wide. Offshore from the mouth of the Amazon, the sheer force and amount of water that flows down means that you can scoop drinking water from the ocean while out of sight of land. It supports the Amazon rainforest, where there's half of the remaining rainforest in the world. And the Amazon rainforest houses a third of all wildlife species in the world. This river bringing life to all that surrounds it. Compare that with the Dead Sea, a salt lake between Israel and Jordan. Dead Sea is 67 kilometres long and 18 kilometres wide. It's 8.6 times saltier than the ocean, with 30% salinity. The Jordan River is the only major water source flowing into the Dead Sea, and the Dead Sea has no stream that flows out of it. Because it has no stream that flows out of it, there's nothing that lives in it. No plants, animal. The only life form is microbial forms of bacteria and fungi. Wow, it's beautiful though, isn't it? But it's dead. It doesn't support life. I wonder, are you like the Amazon, or are you like the Dead Sea? The Amazon's the life sustained and flourishing because Jesus is the source. And that source flows through your life to bring life to others. And Jesus says, look, it actually doesn't really matter how you feel, whether you feel like the Amazon or whether you feel like the Dead Sea. Because however you feel, he says, come to me and drink, and out of you will flow these rivers of living water. And what's he talking about? He's talking about his Spirit. He's talking about pouring himself into you so that he will flow through you into lives of other people. A river flows through desert ground, dry ground, and brings life, enables flourishing around it. It transforms its surroundings. A river gives from what it receives upstream. It doesn't have to try to produce something itself. It relies on a source that it goes to that allows it to give life. It simply gives away what it's been given. And so the question is, what's your source? What do you go to have your desires, to have your thirsts satisfied? And as you go to Jesus, are you allowing what he gives to you to flow through you to other people? Or do you simply come here to a community that, you know, tonight, that worship, it was like, yeah, this is an opportunity for you to seek Jesus. It's a beautiful space to step into. And are you receiving the water that Jesus is offering you in those times and trying to keep it for yourself? Or are you receiving what Jesus gives to refresh you in order that you would refresh others? You know, I wonder what an Amazon individual looks like. I wonder what an Amazon church looks like. I wonder what Guymia Baptist receiving the life of Jesus into the individuals here and flowing out into the community. I wonder what transformation that brings to the workplaces, the homes, the neighborhoods in which you live. Isn't that an amazing thought, that God can use you by pouring out his Spirit into your life to bring transformation into other people's lives? Some of you might go, I don't know this experience. I don't know what you're talking about. I haven't received this Spirit. I haven't heard about this Spirit that Jesus is offering. And Jesus says, well, if you ask the Father for his Spirit, then he will give it willingly. Luke 11, ask and you will receive. Some of you might be thinking, hey, you know, I come to church here and I participate in community, but I can see that I need to find some outlet streams to allow life to flow through me so that I don't become stale and dead. Some of you might be saying, hey, I'm realizing that I need to go to Jesus with my thirst. I realize that I'm going to other things to try to quench what is happening inside me. And I need to acknowledge what is happening in me and realize that Jesus is the one who can satisfy whatever my desires are and whatever my needs are. Can we stand together? I'd love to take a moment to pray. I might invite the band to come up at this point. And let's just create a bit of space and not be in a rush here. And you might have a question that you're just asking God. I just encourage you to look to Him and to ask that of Him. You might right now need to go to Him with something. And so it might be helpful to close your eyes. You might want to be in a posture where you want to receive from Him. And we just want to give God space, don't we, for us to be still and to ask Him, God, how do you want to refresh us? How do you want to refresh me? How do you want to refresh us as a community here? How can we join in with the celebration that you do? Because really, you know, a community here is the fulfillment of what the Tabernacles was about, wasn't it? A community that has the Spirit of God flowing through them. So let me pray. Well, Father, we thank you that you are a good Father who longs for His children to experience and know you. And Jesus, some of us here tonight need to accept your invitation to come and to drink. And our cry there is, come, Holy Spirit. Come not because you're not here, but come because we're not aware of you. We ask that you would make yourself clear to us. Come and bring your refreshment into our lives. We ask that you would come and quench our thirsts. That our longings that seem too strong would actually pale in significance to the water that you pour out to refresh us. And Father, our prayer is that you would pour out your Spirit upon us now and you would refresh us now in order that we would flow out. We would flow out of here and we would bring life and we'd allow people to celebrate. And we'd see that this celebration is all about you. We're going to spend a moment now singing. And, you know, the purpose of this time here when we sing isn't to mouth words that are on a screen. The purpose is to look to Jesus and express yourself before Him. So that might be for you tonight needing to be silent and still and speak to Him in your heart or pray a prayer or ask Him a question. But use this space to look to Him and allow Him to pour fresh water into your life.
Next song.